Okay, thank you for the introduction. So I'm going to talk today really a summary of the work that we're doing in Ireland, looking at fertilizer nitrogen source and inhibitors, using them as tools to sustain agronomic productivity and mitigate nitrous oxide emissions. So can we put more nitrogen or the same amount of nitrogen into the system and influence the amount of nitrous oxide that we're getting out of those systems? I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, including this PhD student on this project, Mary Harty. This work's funded by the Irish Department of Agriculture, Food, Forestry and Marine. Okay, so Ireland is located on the western edge of Europe, just to give you an idea of where it is. And the context for this work is that agriculture accounts for about 60% of the land area in Ireland. Grassland is the main crop. That's about 90% of the agricultural area. And in the Irish setting, I suppose we have these two somewhat conflicting targets. The Department of Agriculture has targets to increase output, agricultural output, 33% from the agriculture, fish and forestry sectors, and 50% increase in milk production. Now, more milk production involves more cows, and also, because this is a pasture-based dairy system, more of our soils being managed intensively and receiving higher rates of nitrogen. And concurrently, we're signed up for a 20% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2020. Current situation is that agriculture accounts for about one-third of the national greenhouse gas emission, with nitrous oxide accounting for about 10% of that emission. And this is related to the fact that Ireland has a relatively small industrial base and quite a relatively intensive pasture-based agriculture system. Okay, so I usually use this more with a farmer audience, but it sort of illustrates this point that we have tools in terms of what we can input into that system, and these nitrogen sources have different outcomes and loss potentials associated with them. So currently in Ireland, the standard product that the majority of farmers use, about 90% of the nitrogen, is going on as ammonium nitrate. So we're loading into the soil system nitrate or near nitrate material, which is vulnerable towards denitrification loss under environmental conditions which favour this loss pathway. So we can tweak this by inputting urea, but urea has loss potential associated with it through volatilization. We can use a urease inhibitor to manage this loss, and we can also use a nitrification inhibitor to manage that soil nitrate pool, which is a risk potential for denitrification loss and for leaching as well. So really what we're looking at doing is managing that soil nitrate pool by nitrogen source, the treatments being an ammonium nitrate product, which is current standard and is more expensive also versus urea, and also a urease inhibitor and a nitrification inhibitor, which is combined with the urea, not with the ammonium nitrate. That's sort of the standard point, if you like. Okay, so to get a little bit into the actual work itself, this is a PhD student, Mary Harty, and Mary has three sites located on the island of Ireland. It's a collaborative project with the Agri-Food and Biosciences Institute in Belfast. At the sites, there's five replicates. The work's been conducted across 2 years, annual N rates 0 through 500 kilograms per hectare, and the treatments are in source, so calcium ammonium nitrate or urea, and then urea with the inhibitor combinations. Just to break down what's actually happening at the sites, this is one of the grassland sites. There's about 100 plots out here. We're measuring nitrous oxide using a static chamber method. We're also tracking what's going on with the soil mineral nitrogen pool by taking soil samples over time. And we've got an agronomic area where we're measuring yield. And really that's the data that really engages the farmer audience who kind of control what actually goes out on the landscape. And as the previous speaker referred to, If we're losing ammonia from the system, that goes up, it comes back down somewhere. Some of these options have different ammonia loss potential associated with them, and we're measuring that using a system of wind tunnels. Okay, so we can manage that soil nitrate pool on the x-axis you're looking at, just the days through the year. On the y-axis, this is the total oxidizable nitrogen in the surface 10 centimeters, and that's mainly nitrate in this system. This is for the control, relatively low levels, as soil nitrogen is mineralizing, it's been taken up by the crop. And when we add nitrate into the system, this is calcium ammonium nitrate, we see these dramatic spikes. So I should say that 200 kilograms is being applied in splits over the season, which is typical of the pasture system. And where we use urea, that soil nitrate pool is more stable over time. And what's the impact on this on nitrous oxide emissions? This is from one of the sites. Earlier speakers have talked about, you know, this issue of loss risk and the soil environmental conditions aligning really for that loss potential, and that's something that occurred at this Hillsborough site. The green bar here is the cumulative emission for 1 year for the calcium ammonium nitrate product, and the other bars to the right of that green bar are for different urea combinations. So when we change over to urea, we see a pretty dramatic reduction in nitrous oxide emissions. And if you look to the far right, the last two bars have the nitrification inhibitor DCD included, and that emission is actually similar to the background emission. This is data from two of the other sites, again at the 200 kilogram per hectare rate. You see that green bar difference isn't as pronounced compared to the urea treatments, and really this is related to the conditions that during the year, the loss potential for denitrification wasn't quite as high. We had drier weather, but what we do see is that the DCD treatments are similar to the control. So you're not always going to see a dramatic reduction, but really what you're doing is managing that risk potential for conditions which might favor loss in any given year. And that's something we typically can't control in non-irrigated systems, at least. So this graph is emission factor data, the percentage of nitrogen applied that's lost as nitrous oxide. And one of the big drivers for the funding of this project is to move from using default emission factors to using country-specific data to estimate the national emission. So the current standard calcium ammonium nitrate here is giving us emission factors that are at or above the IPCC default emission factor of 1%. Switching to urea products is giving us emission factors which are lower than that default value. And inclusion of a nitrification inhibitor gives us emission factors which are actually quite close to zero. So this project, as I sort of indicated at the outset, it also has a yield aspect. That's the side of it that really engages the farmer audience. I should say that 200 kilogram per hectare rate is on the responsive part of the yield curve. And the green bar, calcium ammonium nitrate, is the current standard. A lot of people are quite nervous about moving away from it, but what we're seeing in this work is that the yield performance of the urea options and urea with inhibitors is actually quite comparable, maybe slightly ahead. If we look across sites, again, the story is similar. Yield performance is pretty similar across the options. We are seeing a trend for urea with the nitrification inhibitor alone to tend to lag a bit. We see this visually in the field, and it's coming across in yield. And so that's certainly something that we'd like to maybe understand a little bit better why that's happening. Some researchers have seen increased lateralization loss potential with DCD alone. Others haven't, so there's a little bit of controversy there. So just to summarize, nitrogen source and inhibitors, they show promise as tools for managing the soil nitrate pool, and as a consequence, that nitrous oxide loss potential. At the moment, that switching over to from calcium ammonium nitrate to urea with a urease inhibitor and nitrification inhibitor is allowing us to manage nitrous oxide emissions, to manage the ammonia loss potential, and it's giving us yield results that are as good or comparable to what is the current standard in the system. And ultimately, these emission factors that we're generating in this project will be used to refine a national inventory of nitrous oxide emissions from Irish agricultural systems. So at this point, I'd just like to thank the team that are involved with this. There's like a huge amount of field work and lab work to process all the samples, tens of thousands of gas samples coming through. So I just want to acknowledge that this is a team effort. If anyone has any questions or comments, I'd be happy to entertain them at this point. This is a good question. So the question relates to the nitrification inhibitor is giving us a reduction in nitrous oxide loss. However, there's the yield performance of that urea plus nitrification inhibitor seems to lag a bit. Why is this happening? I suppose there's two sides to it. If you look at the actual magnitude of that loss saving. So we're seeing a reduction in loss where the nitrification inhibitor is included. If we look at the scale, you're looking at relatively small amounts in terms of agronomic impact in the region of here 1.5 kilograms and here perhaps 7 kilograms. So I guess there's that aspect to it. The saving, while it's small in terms of agronomic impact, it's large in terms of greenhouse gas potential. The fact that the yield is actually lagging could be related to the fact that perhaps we're seeing a little bit more ammonia volatilization loss where DCD is included. There seems to be some researchers see increased losses with DCD, others do not, and we've seen both in the data that we're collecting with the wind tunnels. The other aspect of this is that you're essentially managing that nitrate pool, the crops having to take up nitrogen in the ammonium form, and perhaps there's some disadvantage there, but it's certainly a good question. Any other questions?
One of the things that you did mention is potential losses through leaching and runoff. And of course, this is a pasture system, but maybe they're on sloping areas in some parts of the
right.
So there may be potential for indirect nitrous oxide emissions after that. Could you try to take that into consideration, or do you have any additional data that eliminates what's going on with that?
Yes, that's a good question. So I suppose the point with any of these approaches to try and solve a problem is that we're not generating some other problem. So is there an indirect emission associated with this? And that's what we're doing in the ammonia volatilization side. There's also lysimeters installed in one of the grassland sites to allow us to examine exactly the point that you're mentioning. But as this is ongoing work, we haven't actually worked up that data at this point, but yeah, it's a good point.
Let's give another round.